It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Julia Palmer, the CEO and president of the Capital Area Humane Society. And Julia, in the last break, we got to talk about the fun part of what it is that you do, which is furball, but now we need to talk about the hard part of what you do, which is the whole topic of adoption and the rescuing of pets. And this week, we had a gigantic story with the capture of over 400, I think, or
it was a
huge number of dogs, and I understand some cats as well. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how Capital Area Humane Society was involved in the whole thing?
Well, we actually got a call from Jamie McAloon saying they needed assistance over in Allegan County, that they had done a seizure of a significant number, and we found out 350, and now it's growing as puppies are being born, and they're discovering more animals, closer to 400 animals that were in need of assistance. Certainly, the shelter that was responsible for the seizure didn't even have the capacity within the walls or confines of their shelter to house that many animals. And also, anyone knows who's been involved in this type of a seizure that you have to have assistance, that there's just so many animals and so much that needs to be done in such a short time frame. And that's what we're all about in animal welfare, is jumping in and helping whenever somebody needs us to do that, whether it be an individual, another organization that needs our help. So once we got word that assistance was needed, we waited for the all clear, that the prosecutors had released the animals and that we could come and help them, and starting to get some of the animals out of that shelter into shelters that could process and adopt them out quickly.
And what did you see coming into your door? What's your first witness of this whole process?
You know, it's very classic puppy mill presentation. We're seeing dogs that are just in deplorable physical condition, you know, feces matted to their skin, mats that, you know, unkempt. Because I've seen it before, it just struck me as puppy mill, and this is pretty much how they come in when we see a puppy mill situation. And not to minimize it at all, but typically the first thing you notice is their physical appearance, which is just, you know, unexcusable, deplorable situation. Most of the dogs are just feces matted down to their coat to the point where it was affecting their skin condition because, you know, the mats are so tight to their skin that their skin can't breathe, for lack of a better term. So, you know, we certainly took them in and assessed their medical needs very first and foremost. And right now they're in the shelter, and we're addressing their medical and really their emotional needs to provide them with the support they need to socialize and interact with humans. Most puppy mill puppies and puppy mill adults don't have human socialization as a part of their daily routine. And so that's something we need to make sure that they feel safe and comfortable with humans before we start pushing them out into the adoption floor.
Mm-hmm. So how long of a process does that typically take?
Well, you know, we have some young puppies that are around 12 weeks old. And the good news is with the babies is they tend to be more social because they haven't had the experience of lack of socialization the way the adults have. So for the very young dogs, the prognosis is really good. In fact, we'll spay and neuter those young puppies, the 12-week-old puppies, and we expect to see them on our adoption floor maybe by this weekend or the very front of next week. So medically, they're very dirty, but they seem to be in okay health medically. Yeah. You know, they're good body weight, and they seem to be enduring pretty well. It's the adult dogs that are always the greatest victims of these crimes because they aren't, you know, the puppies are value to the people who are involved in puppy milling because that's their revenue. That's how they make money.
So they take care of that.
The adults aren't so much a concern, and so they're typically very thin, very underkept. They typically, you know, I know these dogs, most of them don't have teeth because they don't have just basic medical care. So the adults will be the harder part for us to deal with.
And would that be like a quarter of the animals seized would be adults, or
you know,
less,
I don't know
of
the total. We took in about 6 puppies and about 12 adults at this point, and we plan to go back on Monday and continue to take animals as they need us to. I know that so many other shelters are helping. They may or may not need more help from us as you know, they start to disperse the dogs into the various shelters.
Grand Rapids and
there are a lot of shelters assisting, so if they need more help, I think what we'll find is that we're going to start to get into the older, sicker dogs that are going to be harder to adopt and may need heartworm treatment or other medical care, and that's where we might be able to step in and provide some assistance for those harder to adopt, harder to treat animals.
And is it pretty, is all this puppy mill in Michigan kind of under the wire? I know years ago there used to be pet store licenses and whatnot that we all had to comply to. And then due to budget constraints, all of a sudden, whether it's you and your enterprise or us and our enterprise or whatever shop that's out there, no longer was being controlled or governed by the state. now we've got situations like this. Would that have helped in a situation like this uncover these problems, or has this just been an underlying problem ongoing, and the lack of financial resources, has that contributed to the problem?
Well, I can't think that it's helped. And I mean, puppy milling has always been kind of a subculture, a hidden culture. A lot of people that run puppy mills present to the public, or if someone comes to buy a puppy, they have two lovely dogs sitting in their home with the beautiful puppies. And the consumer doesn't know that out in the barn there are 100 or more dogs that are being mistreated and abused, because all they see is what's in the home. So people who are involved in this industry know how to fool the public. They know how to present, when someone comes to their home, a healthy looking adult that is the mother and puppies that look beautiful. So it's easy to hide. Usually these dogs are in the basement, or they're out in a barn, or they're in an outbuilding. There's protective fence so people can't see what's going on. A lot of times they live out away, you know, in rural areas where, you know, there's not a lot of neighbors to observe their activities. So it can be something they can kind of hide away from people pretty easily. And unless it's reported to the authorities, it could go unnoticed.
So so it doesn't seem like, I remember the laws that were in before, and they're still there on the books, but not enforced. But I think at the time we were actually trying to work on how we could encompass
right.
problem situations like this.
Right.
And we weren't even, we hadn't figured it out then.
Right.
And then they threw the whole ball out, you know, so now yes. it's only gotten worse. Give the listeners, there's people out there that are thinking about getting puppies and dogs. And I think with the internet, more and more and more people are going to right. private owners or private places, even like this,
sure.
to get a puppy. So more suggestions and ideas of what you want to think about when you're going out if you're not going to adopt an animal
sure.
from
a shelter.
The shelter, and one shelter or another. Give us some suggestions or ideas, or
absolutely.
Something that sinks right into the head of everybody so we can stop this madness.
Well, you know, it's a big battle. And the good news is there's actually some bills that have been introduced in Michigan called the Puppy Protection Act that are going to start to address or put regulations on puppy mills that will include an annual licensing fee that's significant.
Okay.
And also control the number of dogs that any breeder can house in their complex to 50 animals or less. So there's going to start to be, hopefully, if this law passes, some legislation that law enforcement people can rely on or use to enforce and restrict a little bit of this activity that's going on with the commercial breeders who are clearly only in it for the puppies. If you're a consumer and you're looking for a puppy and you don't think a shelter will meet your needs, there are some key things to look for. Certainly, you want to make sure you can see the parents, although a lot of people know how to pose or pretend parents, you know, are the dog, you know, that these are the dog's parents and they may not be. So you have to be really cautious of that. You know, if you're going to a property and people are cautious about what they'll let you see, I think that's a huge red flag. If
sure.
there are outbuildings and you can tell there are other animals on the property, that would be a red flag to me that maybe there are a lot of animals on this property that aren't receiving the care they need. Keep in mind, these people are going to take great care of the puppies because that's their money stream.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what you see in the puppy is not it's not going to indicate necessarily what condition the parents are in or what condition the other animals are on the property. You know, if you see something on the internet, of course the website's going to be professional and beautiful. Again, that's how they make their money. So, you know, for me, you know, of course we prefer people adopt from a shelter, and we know that those purebred and specialized breeds aren't always in a shelter, but I would really encourage people to look for people that appear to be what we call hobby breeders, or people that have both parents that may live in a residential area that happen to breed their two dogs, or, you know, happen to breed dogs because, you know, it's more of a hobby to
them. Hobby.
Anybody who appears to be doing it for a revenue source, big red flag. Because if you're making enough money to live off of puppies, then you're doing something that's really not right for the dogs.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Julia, let's talk numbers, because I'm curious to know how many animals do you typically take in to your shelter in a year, and how many
right.
do you adopt out?
Well, we adopt out about 80% of the animals that come into our shelter, and right now we're taking in about 4,500 animals every year, so I'd have to do the math. It's somewhere around 3,500 animals that go out the door in terms of adoption. And again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that's probably pretty close to what we're looking at.
How does it break down, cats and dogs?
You know, probably about 2/3 of the animals we get in are cats. You know, cats, we've always talked about this mm-hmm. on the show, that cats mm-hmm. are a huge problem. So we certainly see and get requests for people to bring in their cats a lot more than their dogs.
Yeah, talk a little bit about, I think there's some people listening in a zip code or two
yes.
that might actually be able to get some free services
sure.
that they may not otherwise know about. Talk a little bit about that.
Right now we're working, and we have a grant from PetSmart Charities at our offsite spay-neuter clinic to spay and neuter cats in the 48910-48911 zip code. And those are the two zip codes where we see the most cats coming, both into our shelter and also to Ingham County shelter as well. So they were what we call targeted areas. Mm-hmm. The hope is over a 5-year span to decrease the number of on spayed and neutered cats in that area by 50%. And this is something that's pretty well researched. So if you have a cat and you live in those zip codes, especially if you have financial need, it's absolutely free. They get vaccines and a microchip as well, so we can track the animals if they get lost. And really a great opportunity as we look at how many cats are coming to shelters to get some of those issues addressed.
So some people have neighbors, well, no, friends and acquaintances and individuals they know from work in those zip codes and they don't know it. What neighborhoods are those that you're talking about?
Oh, I wish you hadn't asked me that.
That's the wrong question. Okay.
Well, tell us the zip codes
again. You know, actually, our clinic is in South Lansing, so it's going to be the areas around, you know, we're on South Cedar Street, and, yeah. and I could tell you, I can't tell you the exact perimeters of that area.
Well, it's pretty much
the lower half of Lansing. If you're looking at a map, it's pretty much about, you know, downtown Lansing down south.
What are the numbers again?
48910, 48911.
Okay. All right. 10 and 11.
Well, 10 and 11.
Free stuff.
Well, and it's such an important issue because, Julie, the thing that most people don't think about is that the worry is not always their cat. It could be the feral cats that are running around in the neighborhood that end up causing the problem.
You're right.
Because how do people get them spayed and neutered when they don't have an owner?
You know, and that's true. A lot of people don't claim ownership. They may feed and say, it's not really my cat. You know, my message is if you have a feral cat that you're providing any care for, whether, you know, if you're feeding it or providing it a shelter, we can rent you a trap and you can trap that cat and we can get it spayed and neutered for you. And then we'll help you understand when it's timely to release the cat again. But those cats need to be spayed and neutered maybe more than cats that are in homes because obviously we know that they're out there.
And it doesn't matter that they're feral.
No.
That you'll do the spay neutering.
Yes, as long as somebody out in the community will take the responsibility. The grant doesn't provide for us to trap organization to go out and do mass trapping, what we would call. So we can't trap the cat for you, but you can rent a trap and bring the cat in a trap, and we will provide spay neuter services for that.
Okay,
yeah.
And we only have a minute left, but talk a little bit about pit bulls in the community and what where we're at with. How many adoptions we see just of that particular breed?
You know, it's a tough one, and it's something we'll keep coming back to. Obviously, you know, a couple of weeks ago, 70% of the dogs in our shelter were pit bull dogs. This problem isn't going away. People need to understand that. We need to stop blaming the breed and start being responsible. Please, if you have a pit bull in your life, do the right thing. Spay and neuter it. Be a responsible owner. If you tie that dog outside, if you don't act responsibly, there's a much greater risk of that dog having aggression issues if it's not cared for properly. You know, people want to say it's all, you know, aggressive breed, get rid of them all. I don't think in any time in history getting rid of a population has ever solved anything. I think that we need to be knowledgeable, educated, and most importantly, it's your job to take care of that dog. If you have a pit bull, it's your job to be responsible, and you will have a better dog if you do that.
Thank you so much.
It just
couldn't state it any better.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got a mighty challenge. The good news is we've got Furball tonight to help give us the fun and the funds in order to take on that challenge. And Julia, thank you for being a treasure to this community because your help is appreciated. We've been speaking this morning with Julia Palmer, the president and CEO of the Capillary Humane Society. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation on adoption with Jamie McAloon-Lampman from Ingham County Animal Control right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Got some ideas, questions, suggestions? Email us at mmpets@1320WILS.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mmpets. Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.